I would appreciate the prayers that the Lord will help me to be able to speak what he has laid on my heart. And I would like to say that it was several days ago that the Lord began to put these thoughts in my mind. And I'm going to say this, that it has been the desire of my heart to minister in his word to my last breath. So while the song was speaking of praising the Lord and the scripture was read, if we have breath, praise the Lord. And I would like to be able to not only praise the Lord while I have breath, but I want to minister in his word to his people. And again, it is very precious to me to be able to see your faces and see the inside of the chapel. So I'm going to lay a little foundation to the burden the Lord has laid on my heart, because it's really for a message beyond today. So what we have today will no doubt be used again, maybe in a future message. I want to speak to us today about family. How the family, the very family unit, is ordained of God and has been so from the beginning. I'm thinking about all of creation and how it was founded on the very principle of one man and one woman. And it was founded on the principle of procreation. And when God formed Adam from the dust of the earth, he looked upon Adam and he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." And so therefore he put Adam in a deep sleep and he took a rib from his side and he formed the first woman, which was Eve. But what God did when he looked upon all of his creation, he said, "It is very good." So Adam became the father of the human race, and Eve was known as the mother of all living. So this we'll call the family plan and say that God set it in motion with the creation of Adam and Eve. The family unit is comprised of husbands and wives and parents and siblings, but it goes beyond that. It goes to the extended family of grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins and nieces and nephews. And I want to thank the Lord for even extended family. Even in the situation I'm in and how much I appreciate extended family that have come in and been a part of my care. But as I think about each one of these positions in a family and how each position plays an important role as family members and in family relationships, families have been productive and good. I'm speaking from the point of view of relationships and interrelationships, there's been good family relationships with some, and then there are some family units that have not been so good, and we're really not wanting to focus upon whether they're good or bad. But I do want to use a key phrase and maybe bring back to our mind Something that was recent in a message that I preached, I used this phrase concerning our individual lives. I was talking about the past events of our lives. Some of our past events have been failures, have been disappointments, where we made mistakes. But I wanted to, when the Lord gave me the message, he specifically said to me that our past failures and our past disappointments and mistakes do not define who we are today or who we will be tomorrow. And that same thought came to me about our family histories. We can have great family experiences. We can have unpleasant and less desirable histories. But neither should define our own family unit today. Nor should it determine the future success or the lack of success. Because you and I have responsibility for our family units today. So I'm going to focus on the godly family unit. The godly family unit is truly like a school of learning, teaching. Without the principles of all that we learn from children up and the influences of a godly family, we wouldn't understand all about this message today. But the school of the family unit, it has to be teaching and much learning, and it's all ordained of God, because he was the designer of the family plan. So I want to read our first scriptures in Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And it speaks about our teaching our children. And again, this is not a family child training. This is just something that we hope to incorporate in maybe the next message. It says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt teach talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house and on the gates. So we may not be repeating that verse in the rest of these thoughts, but that verse may be picked up in the next message. So when we speak of some basic principles that are necessary for a healthy family unit, we find that those principles were on the foundation of love, partly because God is love. He wants love to be in our family unit, love for one another. He wants compassion. Why? Because he is a compassionate God. Caring. He wants us to care for one another. Why? Because the word of the Lord says to cast all of my cares upon him, for he careth for you. So that's a principle of God's foundation, and he wants it to be in our family unit. He wants respect. He wants honor and esteem among our family members. a major principle is forgiveness. In our whole life, doesn't matter if we have really pleasant, good family relations, there will always be a need that I have forgiveness when I am offended. And the last one that I was thinking of is how God desires and calls us to do so is supporting one another as a family member. So all that's been said to this point is a foundation to the remaining part of the message that we have on our heart today and to a future message, Lord willing. I began with the statement that God ordained the first family plan and that it has been set in order throughout all the past generations. But I want to apply these principles now to the family of God. And I would like for us to sing the song of "I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God." So if you can sing that for us at this time.
You know, as we say, brothers and sisters, it's because we're family and this folks are so dear. When one has a holiday, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been walking the mountains, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel.
Okay, I have a second song. No, let's not sing the next song yet. I want to make a few comments about being a part of the family of God and what a great privilege it is to be a part of the great family of God. The song said that we call each other brother and sister. Well, where did that come from? It came from that first plan of God's plan for the family unit. In our own families, we have siblings and we call them, well, he's my brother, and she's my sister. And so we call each other brother and sister, or we claim that great, wonderful relationship with those that are in the family of God. And it goes on and it says, when one has a heartache, we all share. We share the tears. And the scriptures tell us, we're going to read those scriptures. We rejoice with each victory. Don't we do that on prayer meeting night when we come together? And sometimes there in the congregation, just being a small little congregation, sometimes we say, oh, we're just family tonight. And then as we give our testimonies and we rejoice with one another, isn't it a great blessing to be a part of the family of God? The next verse gives us a thought concerning being an heir. We're joint heirs with Jesus. And Jesus, we think of Jesus as being the Savior of the world. He gave his life's blood. And all of that is so important to us having this place where we belong. And yet he's saying, I'm your brother. I'm a joint heir with him. And I'm part of this great family of God. It goes on and speaks about where we've come from. We've come from a place of rags and an orphanage. And we come to the house of the King. I'm no longer an outcast. And I have a new song. I don't have those rags. I have riches. And then it says, praise God, I belong. What a great privilege it is to belong to the family of God. And the Lord wants us to feel that warmth and that belonging. And he wants us to feel the connection to one another. And not just in our local congregation, but this is a worldwide family of God. And there's so many people out there that I don't even know. I don't know their names. I don't know their lives. And yet God does. And the scripture says that it's the seal of the Lord, that he knoweth everyone that belongeth to him. And so the family of God is much larger than what you and I are seeing today. We may look upon the little congregation and we might say, oh, it's just a little handful. Well, that little handful fits with all of the rest of the body of Christ in the world, and you and I belong to it. Thank the Lord. So now I have another song I want us to sing out of our book, number 463. I am a child of the King.
Oh, that's the creation filled with the glory of Jesus' divine. Even his words are joyfully conscious that he is born of a heavenly life. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. I am a prince in the kingdom of love. I am a child of the King. Once I was lost and a child of confusion. Over the mountains, the fire. Jesus, my brother, since I'm adopted by heavenly love, I am an heir in the kingdom of glory, and have a crown that is waiting above. I am a child.
Isn't that a wonderful song? I remember a number of years ago, I was very, very sick. And a portion of this song came to me, and I did not know what song it was. But someone looked up the portion until they found it, and this is the song. And it says, God is my father, and Jesus my brother, since I'm adopted by heavenly love. Oh, that was a wonderful, encouraging song to my faith when I was passing through that sickness at that time. Do you have a vision today of how precious it is to be a part of the family of God? You know, each one of us have a physical birth in our earthly families. We contain the same DNA as our ancestors. And often, we manifest the same mannerisms and characteristics, even maybe from a grandparent that is just passed down. It just becomes natural. And you know that what the scripture says, you must be born again. And this song says that we're adopted by heavenly love. And so we become a family member of a spiritual sort. We each one have our own individual family units, but we come together and we're made into another family that is actually, it's spiritual and it's not totally of this world. This is a family that's going to enter eternity, eternal life, and be together forever and ever. But it begins here. It begins with me repenting of my sins and coming before him and saying, I want you to be my heavenly father. Most of the time when we pray, don't we start out with those terms? I come before you, heavenly Father. In the name of your Son, Jesus. We may not go ahead and say, well, Jesus is my brother, but he is. We're all part of this great family of God. So as I was thinking about this, the mannerisms and the characteristics of this spiritual sort, the scripture says they see eye to eye and they speak the same things. Another scripture says, and there is no schisms in the body. What's a schism? Division. God hates division. He wants his family to be united, a unit. He wants his family to be in unity. He says that there's nothing more pleasant than for brethren to dwell together in unity. He compared it to something that you and I might not be able to relate to. He said it was like the oil going down Aaron's beard or something. I can't relate to that and count that as something beautiful, but in the eyes of God, it was beautiful. He looks upon the family of God and the way that they see eye to eye and speak the same things and refuse to be divided in any way, refuse to allow the enemy of this world to separate us. And God is so pleased when he sees his people dwelling together in unity. So I have another scripture in Genesis, the 13th chapter. Let me see here in my notes now. Genesis 13 and 8. And it said, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife between me and thee, for we be brethren. I believe that Irma was even speaking, and after they had the Doolittles, or the Salees rather, had their little get together in honor of Bob, his birthday, and different memories were being given of Bob's life as a father and as a husband. But I remember Bob saying, we be brethren. That's what we need to feel today, an attachment to one another, that we are brethren before God. Then I go over into the New Testament and it says, love as brethren. That's why I gave the little foundation of the family unit. We love each other in our families. We sometimes have a special love for our brothers and our sisters. So it goes on down and it says, another scripture, and I didn't write it down where it was. It says, and we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Family of God, as I said a little earlier, is worldwide and is a mixture. What is the mixture of the people of the whole family of God? Different nationalities, different cultures. There's a broad spectrum of DNA. Well, I read this, that there is a Greek word, it's called filio, I think, and it carries a meaning of having a tender-hearted affection. And then there's another Greek word that was adelphos. I may not be pronouncing that just right, but it means brother or from the same womb. So if you put these two words together, you have tender-hearted love and affection for the brethren who are from the same family, from the same womb, or by the same birth. And I put that in there. Family of God has the same birth. A church of God. And I had to remember this, had to even ask Irma if this, on the church at Guthrie, it said, the church of God, where salvation makes you a member. And then I could add, of this great family of God. So I have another scripture in 1 Peter 2 and 9. And it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is what makes up the family of God, a peculiar people. And this is the reason that ye should shew forth the praise of him which hath called you. So God has called us all into this family. And then I want to give you some of the words of Angela's song, which, and by the way, I appreciated the message this morning so much. And I want to say that I'm out of my comfort zone right now. But he mentioned the song, We Need Each Other, Brethren. I'm going to just give you little parts of it. When one fails, help us rescue his soul. Is everybody going to be perfect forever? Are we never going to have a time that we have some misunderstanding? Or when one does have a failure? Oh, when we're part of the family of God, we'll carry a burden because we love. We love as brethren. We don't want to see anybody fail. We want to reach out a hand and say, I'll be there. I'll support you. So when anyone fails, we want to help. And then it says, he's not heavy, for he is my brother. Let us look upon each other today and say, you're not heavy. You're my brother. I think that I've even said it to some of you. I've told you when I was carrying a burden for you, you're not heavy. God wants us to love one another with a divine love, the same love that he has for us. He wants us to have that love for each other. And then it says, let us cry as we carry his load. We need each other, brethren. The last verse is so good too. I will help. You know, Cynthia, in one of her prayers here for me, used that word help, and I have it printed on my wall, and it says, tailor-made assistance. I'm going to say that again because I want each one of you to grasp hold of what kind of help we want to extend to each one. God has a tailor-made assistance for us, but he wants you and me to have a tailor-made assistance for each other. It will work just right to reach my hand out at the right time, to pray at the right time, to say those encouraging words at the right time, for it to be anointed of the Spirit of God at the right time. So it says, I will help, I will comfort, and I will pray. I will stand by your side and defend you in this battle you're facing today. We need each other, brethren. So that's our little message this afternoon. And when we close, I would like for us to sing Psalm 253. Let us ever love each other. Thank you for bearing with me in this position that is not normal. But I felt that the Lord wanted us to just be, could I use the word excited? Be excited that you're a part of the family of God. And another thing, which will be in another message, each one of you have a special place to fill in the family of God. As Brother Dan was preaching this morning and saying, send me, use me, let me get out of my comfort zone. That's what it's saying. You're part of a big family unit that is worldwide, but in the congregation, let us love as brethren and let us support one another. So that's our little message. And thank you for bearing with me this afternoon. Amen.